it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Real live football. Like today, real live football. Ooh, kind of, but I'll take it. Good morning to you. Good Friday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is Daily Shot of Steelers. Comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into hockey and or baseball. I also offer daily shots of Penguins and Pirates in the same place that you found this. Rookie minicamp gets going today, 10:30 a.m. officially. It wraps up at 11:45 a.m., after which reporters like me will be able to talk to these guys. It all happens right outside on the sideline of the field that's nearest to the complex. And for anybody who doesn't know, this is a compilation of all of the draft picks, plus all of the undrafted free agents. There hasn't been a full roster released yet. I'll have a copy of that whenever I get to the facility, but it's usually somewhere in the 30 to 40 range in terms of the numbers, bearing in mind that there are also players who are invited who are not either draft picks or undrafted free agents. They're just kind of out there, and they're not signed. Nothing about the drills, such as they are too intensive, so you can't pick up a lot of knowledge like who looked good at rookie minicamp. It's the most skeleton version of walkthroughs that you'll ever see, bearing in mind that most of these players don't know anything about this playbook, and that would be the case even if there wasn't an all-new offensive coordinator at hand. I have four. I've written them down here. Four things that I want to track today. One is the most captain obvious thing of all, but it's sitting at the top of my list, and that is, where does Troy Faoutanu line up? If he is at left tackle, the easy thing to say is, hey, we're not going to change anything now. We're going to keep him right where he was in college, and if we have to adjust, we'll do it later. If he is at right tackle, oh my, because that means he will almost certainly be the right tackle whenever it's his time to start, and Broderick Jones will be moved to left tackle, which would be probably the news of the day if it turns out that way. Second, and you feel free to go knock on wood or whatever as I speak this, but I want to see Peyton Wilson move around. You know, I don't want somebody to tell me that he's been healthy for 2 years. I don't want somebody to show me the college video. I want to know that if this guy was really the best linebacker in all of college football, that he looks hale and healthy right in front of my eyeballs. And as such, I might watch him more closely than any other player on the field. Number three is Roman Wilson, because the only thing that you can gauge in a setting like this, even a little bit, is the performance of the wide receivers. Why? Well, all they're doing is running routes against a corner, and they're having passes thrown to them that they have to go up and catch. Which really, if you think about it, isn't all that different than what they would do on an ordinary Sunday in the fall. So if Wilson were to make things happen, go up and get some balls, run some crisp routes, maybe show everybody that he's a bit of a quick learner, all of those things would be very, very encouraging at the one position that we now talk about more than any other on this program. Fourth, and don't forget about this, he's anything but a rookie, but this is going to be the first real look that any of us outside types, and I very much consider myself to be an outsider in the Steelers world, will have of Arthur Smith. I want to see how he conducts business. I want to see how hands-on he is, how much he just backs off and observes. And of course, these are rookies, so it's going to be different than the way he would handle, say, OTAs in a couple weeks or the real full mini camp, much less the main event in La Trobe. But one of many things that I always wanted to see more of from Matt Canada, in addition to intelligence, imagination, and those other things, was being, you know, there, being in the middle of it. He would, you know, he'd have that big straw hat on and he would stand in the back, have his arms folded, occasionally talk to whichever of the quarterbacks happened to be idle, but for the most part, just observed. And that's very much in line with what the chief criticisms of him were inside that building, which is that he didn't communicate. Didn't communicate with other coaches, didn't communicate sufficiently with other players. Here I go again, turning this into a Canada bash. Let's see how Smith does it. Let's see how comfortable he is in this new world after just having been an NFL head coach in Atlanta. That's always an interesting dynamic to pay attention to. Just as when Brian Flores came here from Miami, his circumstance was different, but he went from being the main guy to someone who was just kind of assisting in an area. To me, here again, I want to see Smith really take charge. I want to see him. He doesn't have to, you know, outshout Mike Tomlin, but I want to see somebody who says, hey, let's get this going. We can't waste any time. Even though you're just rookies, I see a handful of you out here already who might be part of my starting offense. So let's bleeping go. And finally, I guess I'm going to throw this in as kind of a bonus here, but man, show me something of this offense. You know, show me some alignments. Give me some indication as to what this might look like and what we're all fussing about. The hiring of Smith happened way back in January. We're now almost 4 months later, and we still know absolutely nothing beyond whatever he'd have put on film with the Falcons. So, basically, that's going to be my weekend. Sounds like fun, right? Yeah, one of about a billion reasons I've got to never, ever, ever complain about this job. When we come back, J1Q. Luxembourg, Garbett, Kelly, and George, LGKG, is a personal injury law firm in Western Pennsylvania that represents people hurt in car accidents or who need help with workers' comp or medical malpractice. When the attorneys at LGKG make you a promise, they keep it. They've been keeping promises in our region for over 80 years. LGKG's been AV rated, the highest rating a law firm can receive, and they've been designated super lawyers. That's actually a thing for over 15 years. It's a rare combination. LGKG has offices in Cranberry, Newcastle, Beaver Falls, Butler, and Elwood City. Learn more about them by visiting lgkg.com or by calling 888-842-5454. LGKG. J1Q comes from Chris, who says, hey DK, the thought crossed my mind that the Steelers may not ever intend to play Justin Fields. Could Omar Khan be holding on to him to move before the trade deadline? It's unfortunate, but there's likely going to be a team staring down the barrel of a ruined season from an injured quarterback, as was the case with Aaron Rodgers last year. Maybe the Steelers move him for a nice draft pick. Chris, the easy way for me to answer this is to say that I don't recall either Omar or Kevin Colbert or anybody in franchise history engaging in asset collection for the purpose of asset redistribution. And if they ever did, or if your scenario would have some merit to it, you'd better believe that the Steelers would be loading up to an unusual level at the number three position, as they did last year when they brought Mason Rudolph back. As it is, Fields is the only viable backup to a 36-year-old starter, who still, by the way, plays a very active form of quarterback with his legs. It's not like Russell Wilson just stands there and surveys the scene and gets rid of the football in 1.3 seconds. He doesn't have the safest style. He is to be seen as something of an injury risk in that regard. So no, that's what I've got for you is no. I do, however, embrace the opportunity to answer this question, if only because I can tell that absolutely every which way anything turns with this roster, not just now, not just in Latrobe, not just in the preseason, not even just in the early parts of the regular season, but throughout, Fields is going to be pronounced as a potential answer. Well, why can't they just have him do this? Why can't he just be that? Here's the truth, and this comes from football people that I've talked to. This is not my own opinion. This is an aggregate of their opinion. Quarterbacks are quarterbacks. Once you have spent a collegiate career, once you've been put into that position, that is your position, with almost no exceptions. You can talk about how so-and-so here and there was turned into a tight end. You can talk about their running ability. You can talk about pure athleticism and how that could be utilized in this form or other. And then I come back to you and say, give me the examples. Who are these people? Where did they do this? At what point of their careers did they do this? Oh, and this is kind of important too. Were they any good at it? See, in Pittsburgh, we were actually kind of way ahead of the times with this, with the slash concept. That was, of course, Cordell Stewart. If Cordell, and he's actually spoken about this in interviews since then, was part of this generation, Cordell would be a dude. I mean, Cordell could do some things in the backfield. Cordell knew, he had a great sense for it, when to tuck and run. It wasn't automatic. He also had an absolute cannon for an arm. But of course, when he started out, there was the whole slash concept. So sometimes he would line out a wide receiver. And because of his extraordinary athleticism, he could do some of that. It wasn't a ton, and it wasn't at any high level, and certainly not at enough of a level where you could have considered him to be a full-time wide receiver. Why is that? Because he was a quarterback at Colorado. He was a quarterback when he was drafted, and he's a quarterback to this day. In hindsight, Cordell was a QB. That's what they are. They're quarterbacks. They're not made for other positions. They're not made for you to move around or migrate as if it's left tackle to right tackle. And I'm telling you, this discussion has only just begun. Because when we get to preseason and Fields has one of those Fields-looking runs against some vanilla defense and he just bursts away from the pack, all you're going to be thinking about is how do we get that onto the playing surface? How do we find a way to make him one of the 11 who's out there in the huddle? And no one's going to have an answer for that unless something happens to Russ. I mean, it's fun. I like having him around, and certainly for the purposes of what I do for a living, it's a great subject creator, but I don't think it's going to be all that interesting. I really don't. Meaning, you know, from a dramatic standpoint. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Steelers, and we'll have another one of these Monday with a whole lot of fresh material out of this rookie mini camp. Thanks so much for listening.